Hello children, I am Mrs. Anjalika Sen of AECS 5 Mumbai. I am back with module 3 of excretion of the lesson Life Processes. This is the last module of this lesson. In this module, we will learn about hemodialysis and also about excretion in plants. Let's move to the first slide. In the first slide, we see the artificial kidney and the process is called as hemodialysis. The machine is also known as a hemodialyzer or simply a dialyzing machine or a dialyzer. Now, we are going to understand this in a little details. We know that kidneys are vital organs for our survival because kidneys are removing the urea, which is nitrogenous waste and very toxic for us, from the blood. We have studied how the nephrons eliminate the urea or remove the urea from the blood, and finally it is eliminated from the body with all the excess water and excess salts by the process of micturition. Under normal conditions, everything is fine, the kidney is working properly, so everything is okay. Sometimes, due to several factors like infections or injury due to an accident or any other reason, an injury, or even if the blood flow to the kidney gets restricted, if all these things happen, or maybe any other underlying medical issue, the activity of the kidney may get reduced. When the kidney's activity gets reduced, automatically all this urea and the nitrogenous waste and also excess water in the body will get accumulated within the body. And urea, as I already told you, or the nitrogenous waste that we already discussed, are poisonous. And so that is very dangerous for the body, and it can also be fatal and may cause death. So once the kidney fails, it is a very difficult situation. So there are only two things that can be done. One is to look for a kidney, for a transplant of kidney, and looking for a donor, getting a donor, and then doing the surgery to remove and transplant the kidney is a complicated process and a long process. But in the meanwhile, there is another thing what the doctors do, and that is they use an artificial kidney or a dialyzer to remove the urea or to remove the nitrogenous wastes from the body and also to remove the excess water from the body. Now, what is this artificial kidney? It is nothing but a machine which is kind of working like the kidney and trying to remove the waste from the body just like the kidneys. Now, you can see the figure over there, the picture over there on your slide. This is the same picture that we see in our textbook. And we see the dialyzing machine has been attached to the artery of a patient over there. Now, what is this dialyzing machine? You can see a tank, right? There is a dialyzing tank, and that dialyzing tank is filled with dialyzing solution. So there is a nozzle through which the fresh dialyzing solution is put into the tank, and there is another nozzle which is removing the used dialyzing solution, and that used dialyzing solution will have all the urea, the excess salt and excess water in it. Within that tank that is having the dialyzing solution, a number of tubes are suspended. And these tubes that are suspended within the tank in the dialyzing solution are made up of selectively permeable membrane. So that means each artificial kidney contains a number of tubes that are having a semi-permeable lining, and these tubes are suspended into a tank that is filled with dialyzing fluid. Now, one of the tubes is connected to the artery of the patient, and from there, the arterial blood will come into the dialyzing machine. We already know that the renal artery brings the dirty blood to the kidney. So the artery will bring the dirty blood and the vein will take the clean blood. We have already discussed this when we were talking about the function of the nephron. So this artery is connected to the tube of the dialyzing machine. It takes the blood from the artery and pumps it into the dialyzing machine. As the blood flows through these large number of tubes that we are seeing, at that time all the waste is eliminated and, you know, it is pushed out of the tube having the semi-permeable membrane into the dialyzing solution. So by the time the blood passes through all those tubes and comes out of the dialyzing machine, all the waste, nitrogenous waste, has been pushed out into the dialyzing fluid, also salts that are not needed, and also all the excess water. And what remains is nothing but blood that is clean, that does not have any nitrogenous waste anymore, and that blood is now coming out of the dialyzing machine and it is attached to the vein of the patient and it goes back into the body, into the circulatory system. So in other words, it is working just like a kidney, but it is outside and it is artificial. That's why we call it an artificial kidney or a hemodializer. We go to the next slide, and here also we see that it is the same hemodializer, it's only a different picture, right? We here also we see that from the artery blood is going into the tank where the dialyzing fluid is present. So fresh dialyzing fluid is added at one side and used dialyzing solution is removed at the other end, and the blood is cleaned of the nitrogenous wastes and it is put back into the vein of the patient. Now this fluid or the dialyzing solution that we are talking has got same osmotic pressure as blood, and so it is devoid. Now it is devoid of nitrogenous waste when it is added to the circulatory system or put back into the circulatory system of the patient. So for getting cleaned, the blood is passing through all these tubes. Okay, and how is this taking place? The waste products pass into the dialyzing fluid simply by diffusion because of the difference in pressure. Now, there is the function of this artificial kidney that we see is so similar to the function of the normal kidney. That means the dialyzer and the normal kidney are having the same function. Only difference is that in our normal kidney or in the normal conditions, our kidney is also involved in selectively reabsorbing the materials, whereas in dialysis there is that one difference that there is no reabsorption involved. So in the dialyzer, what is happening is that the wastes, salt, excess water from the body, all that is removed. If this excess water from the body is not removed, children, then there will be buildup of water in the body. So people whose kidneys are not functioning, often we see the legs are swollen, the hands are swollen, the face also looks swollen because the excess water is not getting out. You know, we have talked about osmoregulation. So excess water is not going out of the body, and so that keeps on building up in the body. So all this is prevented. It also maintains certain chemicals in the safe limits, and because the excess water is also being removed from the body, this also helps to control the blood pressure. So this is what we need to learn about the dialyzing machine, how the dialyzing machine is working. Simply that the arterial blood is taken out, passed through the dialyzer, and once it is clean, it is put back into the patient's body once again. This is how hemodialysis takes place. With this, we come to the end of excretion in animals, especially excretion in humans that we have discussed. So we discussed about the structure of the excretory system, the organs of the excretory system. We talked about the nephron structure, and also we talked how the nephron functions, how the urine is produced, and finally we talked about the dialyzing machine or dialysis. Now we go to the next slide, and now we are going to talk about excretion in plants. Now we all have already, and when we started excretory system, if you recollect, we had talked about a table where we showed the difference, the similarity and differences between the excretory system of the animals and excretory system of the plants. And one thing over there we saw that plants do not have any organs for excretion. Not like animals or like human where we have the kidney which is helping to excrete. So they do not have that specific organ, neither do they have a proper organ system. So they depend completely on different strategies to remove the waste from their body. And they have this because they have large number of dead cells. They have got tissues which have dead cells, and they are able to lose the tissues with the dead cell. They are able to remove the old leaves from their body, and that is why they do not require a proper excretory system. But plants do excrete. Let us see how. First of all, let us talk about the gaseous exchange or the gaseous waste for the plant. When the plant is respiring, it is taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. At the time when it is daytime or when there is sunlight, the plant is photosynthesizing, and maximum of the carbon dioxide that is eliminated by respiration is reused by the plant itself directly for its photosynthesis. But at night, when photosynthesis is at its minimum, at that time carbon dioxide is eliminated from the plant body through the stomata in the leaves. That is the one reason why we are told not to sleep or sit under a tree at night. Because at night the plant is eliminating or removing or excreting that carbon dioxide through its stomata instead of using it. What about the oxygen? That oxygen is constantly being eliminated because oxygen is a waste product during the process of photosynthesis in the case of plants. At the time of photosynthesis, oxygen is a waste. At the time of respiration, carbon dioxide is a waste. But that is being used for photosynthesis, or at the time when there is no photosynthesis, it is removed. This oxygen is also removed through the stomata of the leaves. So this is how the plant is getting rid of the gas, the waste gas. Now let us look at water. Water is constantly being absorbed by the plant roots. That is a constant process we have seen. So when this water is constantly being used, like absorbed by the root hairs and then the roots, it is coming up to the leaves. Most of the water is being used, and most of the water is replenishing the water that is lost by transpiration. But in spite of that, there is excess of water because continuous absorption of water is taking place. So this excess of water, the plant gets rid of this excess of water by the process called transpiration, again through the stomata of the leaves. So that is how the plant is getting rid of all the excess of water. Now for other wastes, plant will use its leaf and also the other tissues that have got dead cells. Now, many plants, we all know that plants have got large cellular vacuoles. So many plants, the waste that are produced in their cells, they will store it in the cellular vacuoles. So at the time when that particular cell is dead or is eliminated from the body, it will be removed, or the waste is stored within the cellular vacuole and does not cause any harm. Other than that, we see plant wastes are also stored in leaves. Okay, so there are the leaves that are aging and that will fall off. So the plants will send the waste and store them in these leaves that are earmarked for being removed or abscission to take place. And so when that leaf will get abscessed or the leaf will fall off, it will go and take the waste along with it. Plants also have old xylem. You know, as the plant grows, new xylem is formed, and the old xylem, which is not functional anymore, are used by the plant to store wastes like raisins and gums. Also, we see that the roots of the plants excrete wastes into the soil surrounding them. We also know that roots respire, oxygen and carbon dioxide exchange takes place near the root hair, and also other wastes are eliminated and excreted into the soil surrounding the root hairs. So these are the various ways the plant is excreting its waste. Let us go to the next slide, and there we see pictures of many types of wastes that are eliminated by the plant. You can see the rubber tree. If it removes the latex. We use it as rubber later. That's a different story. But that latex is nothing but a waste for the plant that is oozing out from the bark of the tree. You can also see gum oozing out from a branch over there, children. That is also used by human beings for their function for our work, but actually it is the waste of the plant that is oozing out from the gaps, and it is forming, you know, waste products over there which will remove, which will like a, it's like a blob over there which will be removed later. You can see a figure picture where you see how carbon dioxide and oxygen is eliminated from the leaf, and also water that is taken up will also be given out through the leaf stomata by the process of transpiration. You know, some of the plants, when we pluck them or so, a milky fluid, a white milky fluid will be eliminated, and that is also actually the waste of the plant, which is stored in the unused xylem or so, and then that will come out where, once there is a small injury or an opening. You can see a picture over there where you see all red and yellow leaves. Normally we see this in the deciduous plants. So when the leaves will be shed, they become old and yellow, and the color goes, they are not green anymore, and then they fall off. So during that time, when they are ready to fall off, the plant will put all its waste into that aging leaf, and when the leaf will fall off, the waste goes off with it. There is a nice picture over there which shows you some species which have salt glands, and so all the excess salt is excreted into the on the ventral side of the leaf, and you can very clearly see over there how the salt crystals are all attached to the ventral surface of the leaf. These are all have been removed from the veins in the lower surface of the leaf, but they are special plants that do it. They are some special species. They have the salt glands. Then we see a very interesting feature that is called as guttation. What is this? We all know transpiration is through the leaves, and so excess of water is eliminated through the leaves by the process of transpiration. But we also learned that ascent of sap is having two factors. One is the root pressure and the transpirational pull. Sometimes when transpiration is very low but root pressure is very high, okay, at times when transpiration is very low and root pressure is very high, at that time we see, because of that root pressure, water, liquid drops or water will come out as small globules on the margin of the leaves. Normally we see this in herbaceous plants. So the margin of the leaves will have the drops of water, and if checked, you can see these water will also contain sugar and salt, showing that those excess things have been eliminated and the excess waste of water has been removed from the plant body. So this is about excretion in plants. We do not learn anything more about this, but there are some points to remember. Also, children, in the last slide, you can see how the bark is peeling off. So the bark is also dead cells, and all waste has been stored in those dead cells. And when the bark will peel off from the tree and fall off, it will take the waste along with it. So there are about 7 or 8 points that we need to remember about how the plants rid themselves of the excretory products. So they are like, for example, we will just run through them quickly. Point one says that plants can store the waste in their vacuoles. We learned that. Then we see point number two says that waste can be stored in the leaves and they are removed as the leaf falls off. The third says that waste products are like raisins and gums are stored in the non-functional xylem. Fourth point also tells us how tannins, raisins are stored in the bark and then removed by peeling. The fifth point reminds us how the excess of the waste substances can be removed through the roots into the soil around them. Then sixth point says all excess water is removed by transpiration. And the seventh point tells us oxygen, which is considered as a waste product and removed at the time of photosynthesis, is removed from the plant body by diffusion through the stomata in the leaves. So these are the points, children, we need to remember about how the plants excrete or how excretion in plants takes place. So children, with this I end the last module on excretion. This also brings us to the end of chapter 1 in biology, that is life processes. Thank you.